start all over. Well, I will a little bit here. I do want to share again that in addition to Lynn and Earl leading our music and Becky Stamm being the liturgist this morning, we have Valerie Adams Hildreth as our playing the flute and giving special music to us this morning. Do want to share that we do have a congregational meeting 2 weeks from today, and that's for the purpose of electing officers. The Farmers Market is returning to Uptown Westerville in a couple of weeks, starting May 21st. We, as a church, since we sit right next to the Farmers Market, will be doing some special activities for children and families to participate in, and that's being led by our CE department and Heather Hicks, and they're looking for volunteers to help run those programs. You can talk to Heather following the service or give her a call, and she'll be glad to tell you what's going on and get you signed up to help. With that, let us begin our worship together.
Good morning. Let's join one another in worship, in joyful worship this morning. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before God with happy songs. Know that the Lord is God. Remember that our Creator made us. We are God's people, the flock of God's Savior's pasture. Enter God's gates with a thanksgiving and the courts with praise. Give thanks to God and bless our Lord's holy name. Give thanks and bless God's holy name, for the Lord is good, whose steadfast love endures forever, and whose faithfulness is to all generations. Let us worship together. Let us pray together the prayer of approach. Wonderful and gracious God, some of us come to you weary from the stress and strain of our days, seeking the rest that only you can give. Some of us come doubting our faith, seeking your spiritual quickening. But whatever our condition of mind, heart, or spirit, we come giving thanks that you accept and welcome us, and in your transforming love are even now changing the old clothing of our souls for new. We open ourselves to your working within and among us, and as we lift our spirits into the light of your holy presence and our voices in praise of our goodness, as you be present to us, O God, help us be present to you in our worship this morning. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite all of our young people who are either here or watching our live stream at home to sort of gather figuratively around me. But as you do, I really want you to look at this group of very good-looking people up here. You recognize that's our church choir. And in a few minutes, we're going to thank them and the people that help lead the choir, Mr. Linhart and Ms. Meyer, for all that they give us. Because what they do is they're good at singing and playing instruments. And so they have some talent that way, and they share that talent with us. And so we're appreciative of that, and we're going to share our appreciation. I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, God gives us the talents that we have. Okay? God gives all of us talents. And some, like the people up here, God gave a talent for singing. God gave the talent to singing to a lot of people out here, too, and maybe to you. For others, he gives the talents to play instruments, like Ms. Adams Hildreth here, or Lynn, or some of the people like you, maybe you, have the talent to play an instrument. There are all sorts of talents, aren't there? There are those who have talents at sports, and there are others who have talents in art, and there's others have talents like they can read, right? You're good at speaking, other things. All sorts of talents have, and you have some talents that God gave you. Everybody does. Of course, we don't always know what our talents are. That's right. And so how do you find out what your talents are? Well, a lot of times you do it just by trying something, right? Somebody says, hey, would you care to sing on the choir? And you go, I don't know. I don't know if I can sing. Well, come try it out. And maybe you can sing, maybe you can't, but you won't know unless you try. Similarly, that's why, you kids play sports. And sometimes they're really good at a sport. Maybe they're really good at hitting a baseball. But you don't know that till you try hitting a baseball, right? And that's kind of what life is like, is you try things, discover if you've got some ability to do that. And when you do, you keep doing it, and you practice, and you get better. And pretty soon you sound like all of them if you're a singer, right? Sort of thing. Well, what I'm going to invite you to do is to spend your time, not just today, but in the days, weeks, and even years ahead, trying to figure out what talents you might have and how you might share them with God. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for all the talents that you've given us, the ones we know about and maybe the ones we haven't discovered yet. So help us to use our talents and share them with others and thereby bless everyone in your name. Amen.
Good morning. Music is the universal language of mankind, Johann Sebastian Bach. Music gives a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and life to everything. Plato. Music can name the unnameable and communicate the unknowable. Leonard Bernstein. Music produces a kind of pleasure which humankind cannot be without. Confucius. Psalm 33:2-3 states, praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. How privileged we are here at First Presbyterian Church to have such a wonderful music program, and Lynn and Earl to make it what it is. We are lucky to have so many people that share their talents with us during the year. Would our choir please rise? It has been so wonderful to hear your voices again after so long without you. You bring so much to our service. Thank you. And Valerie, thank you very much for your music this morning and all the other mornings that you have given it to us. Todd and Kim Wise, would you please rise? Todd and Kim Wise provided us with music on Facebook when we could not meet in the church and when we couldn't sing, and continue to provide music for us. We thank you for making sure that we still had music and singing as part of our service. During the pandemic, even when we couldn't meet in our church, Lynn was here every week to provide music to us. Her dedication has been greatly appreciated by all of us. For 31 years, Earl has led our choir. He has not only brought us beautiful music for our Sunday services, he has presented many special programs for us. We are all so lucky to have had him. Thank you for all that you have done for us for so many years. And Katie Casti designed that t-shirt for us. Thank you, Katie. Our Friends of Music Fund pays for the extra things in our music program. If you would like to donate to this fund, please write Friends of Music on the memo line of your check. Please join us in the Knox Room after church as we honor our music program. Thank you all again.
You.
The first scripture this morning is Psalm 30, verses 1 through 12, which is Psalm 30. A little note, you probably don't need this, but in the course of this psalm, the word morning is used twice. At the first time, joy comes in the morning. It's the time of day. The second time, you have turned my morning into dancing. I thought, whoa, it's mourning as in grief into dancing. Just wanted, just in case you're not looking at the text. Listen for the word of God in Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is just for a moment, but his favor is for all time. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you have established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down in the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I give thanks to you forever. And from the New Testament, the book of Revelation, verses 11 through 14, we have, as so commonly in Revelation, a vision. Listen again for the word of God. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb of God that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Wonderful God, we thank you for these holy words from your holy scripture. As we reflect upon them this morning, may your spirit guide my words and all of our thoughts. Amen. The writer Anne Lamott tells of her search for God in her autobiography, Traveling Mercies. She tells of a restlessness she felt in her younger years. A key turning point in her journey came when she visited a flea market in California. She writes, if I happened to be there between 11 and 1 on Sundays, I could hear gospel music coming from a church right across the street. It was called St. Andrew Presbyterian Church, and it looked homely and impoverished. a ramshackle building with a cross on top, sitting on a small parcel of land with a few skinny pine trees. But the music wafting out was so pretty that I would stop and listen. I knew a lot of the hymns from the times I'd gone to church with my grandparents and from albums we had of spirituals. Finally, I began stopping at St. Andrew from time to time, standing in the doorway to listen to the songs. I couldn't believe how run down it was. Terrible linoleum that was brown and overshined, plastic stained glass windows. But it had a choir of five black women and one rather Amish-looking man making all that glorious noise. And in a congregation of 30 people or so, radiating kindness and warmth. During the time when people hugged and greeted each other, various people would come back to where I stood to shake my hand or try to hug me, and I was frozen stiff as Richard Nixon. All right, some of you may not get that part, but this is her quote. After this scripture was read and the minister would preach, and it would be enough to send me running back to the sanctuary of the market. I went back to St. Andrew about once a month. No one tried to con me into sitting down or staying. I always left before the sermon. I loved singing, even about Jesus, but I just didn't want to be preached at. Something inside me was stiff and rotting and would feel soft and tender. Somehow the singing wore down all the boundaries and distinctions that kept me isolated, sitting there, standing with them to sing, sometimes so shaky and sick that I felt I might tip over. I felt bigger than myself, like I was being taken care of, tricked into coming back to life. I don't know if anyone here has had an experience with music that was quite so powerful. But I do think that many of us here have been affected by music, church or otherwise. In some profound way, and I know that many of us, we find that the music that we share here feels bigger than ourselves. And is it any wonder that in John's fantastic vision of heaven that we call Revelation, when Jesus appears, like he did in the scripture that Becky read this morning, heaven breaks into song? Or that so often the Psalms speak of singing out praises to our God, like Psalm 30 this morning. This is Music Appreciation Sunday, and this year it feels particularly appropriate. Linda shared exactly what we missed, but I don't know if we realized that. They say absence makes the heart grow fonder, and if that is so, we became very fond of our music program over the last 2 years. For it was just over 2 years ago that we suddenly stopped all music here in the sanctuary. We struggled to provide some semblance of worship here. First by reading scriptures and preaching and prayers, and then Lynn came in and recorded music for us that we would play from a boombox, and you all would listen at home. Then, as the pandemic progressed, Lynn came in to play the organ for us live. And that was such an improvement. And then Earl brought his talents back to our sanctuary by singing solos or by recruiting musicians or other soloist musicians like Valerie to come in and provide music to our worship. Finally, when conditions improved enough, the choir returned and it felt right. We thank you all for your time. And all the while, Todd and Kim shared their musical talents by posting songs on our Facebook page so that we could have music throughout the pandemic. What the pandemic taught us was not to take our music for granted. And I'm not saying we took it for granted before the pandemic, but the pandemic has shown us just how important our music is to worship. As Miss Lamont's story reminds us, music has the power to speak to us when words alone cannot. Music has the power to change our hearts, often without us realizing it. Music provides us with a way of communicating something most sacred. The great 20th century Jewish scholar Abraham Heschel wrote, "Religious music is an attempt to convey that which is within our reach, but beyond our grasp." The roots of our faith would confirm that. From the Jewish psalms sung in the Jewish temple to the early church, where the New Testament tells us that the first Christians sang hymns, songs, and spiritual songs. And then throughout the long history of the church, where each age seemed to generate a new wave of great spiritual music, we can see and hear that music because it has become integral to the life of faith. And it makes sense. In a way, music is part of what makes us human. If you don't believe it, just ask any teenager with earbuds. They aren't listening to the news, I'll tell you that. Music shapes us as individuals and forms us as communities. It might be an interesting exercise for us to trace our personal history through music. Yeah, give it a try with me. We could start at the very beginning. For most of us, we're probably sung lullabies when we were infants. We might not remember the words, but I'd guess that melodies still trigger feelings within us. And what about childhood music? Did your family sing when you were young, at dinner or in the evening, or maybe when driving a car? Maybe you can remember the first songs you sang in kindergarten, songs that help you remember the alphabet or were part of playground games. Maybe you went to camp as a kid. Maybe you can remember the songs you sang at camp or in Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts. I still remember some of those silly scout songs from my Boy Scout days. And how about when you were a little older? Did you learn to play an instrument? Did you sing in the choir at school or at church? I played the clarinet for a year. But I did sing in the church youth choir, although the director kept telling me to sing softer while he was telling all the others to sing louder. But that experience gave me something special. It gave me music as a special way to connect with God. I can still sing some of those old youth choir songs to myself. And now think, when did you start noticing popular music? I remember when I was in sixth grade riding a bus to a pool outing for church. And the girl next to me asked the bus driver to turn on the radio to a popular music station. And I remember the song that came on was "Sugar, Sugar" by the Archies. First time I noticed popular music, or maybe that's the first time I noticed the girl sitting next to me, I don't know. Speaking of teenagers, music helps define each generation, from jazz and swing to protest songs, heavy metal, disco, hip hop, and so on. It was folk music of the Vietnam era that stuck in my brain and is still there. Maybe your music gravitated to certain types of music, whether it's classical or country or show tunes or bluegrass or rap. And then what about religious music? Is there a carol that you have to hear each Christmas, or do your eyes tear up when you hear "Amazing Grace"? Music has a way of touching our hearts and even our souls, and that is because there is a mystery to music, especially religious music. Rabbi Heschel used to urge the Jewish cantors who led worship in the synagogues not to be satisfied with what was too readily accessible, but to rather press on towards the mystery of the music. In music, we describe the indescribable, or in the words of Heschel, we attempt to convey what we see but cannot say. Musicians Don and Emily Saylor write that even those who disavow specific religious beliefs or who choose to distance themselves from particular traditions may recognize that music engages the human spirit in a profound way. Its close relationship to feeling and emotion, its constant sounding of the elemental rhythms of life, its importance to personal and community identity, all of these help us to glimpse the possibility that music is very much a part of who we are at the most basic level. Yet music also, at the very same time, reveals a reality that comes from beyond ourselves. And that maybe is why Anne Lamont felt drawn to the music of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church. That music, emanating from a ramshackle church, resonated with her, touched her deep within, reached some divine spot within her. And to use the language of music, a chord was struck. I don't know where music touches your life, but the invitations of the two scripture readings this morning is to explore where your music resonates with God, and to let that music, in the words of Ms. Lamont, bring you back to life. And that is the sound of the resurrection, isn't it? Amen.
Please stand if you're able. Let us now affirm our faith, adapting the words of the Apostle Paul written in his letter to the Colossians, so that his instructions may be our declaration. We are the people of God. Christ loved us and chose us for his own. So then we must clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We must be tolerant with one another and forgive one another whenever any of us has a complaint against someone else. We must forgive one another just as the Lord has forgiven us. And to all these qualities we add love, which binds all things together in perfect unity. The peace that Christ gives us is to guide us in the decisions we make. For it is to this peace that God has called us together in the one body, and we are thankful. Christ's message in all its richness lives in our hearts. We are thankful.
And instruct one another
with all wisdom. We will sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs, singing to God with thanksgiving in our hearts. Everything we do or say then will be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, and as we give thanks through him to God the Father. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord, hear our prayers. Lord God, blessed are you for the gift of faith. Through the ministries of your whole church, we ask that you extend the promise of your covenant to all peoples. Blessed are you who are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Extend your reign over all the nations of the world and confirm to this weary world your will. Blessed are you, O God, for in Christ you have conquered death. Give peace and comfort to those in pain, illness, or mourning, assuring them of the promise of the resurrection for all. Blessed are you, for your Son ministered to the sick, the captive, the lonely, and the lost. Today we pray for those in need of Christ's healing touch, to those whom we have mentioned aloud and for those we speak only in our hearts. And we ask that you help us to be Christ ministers in our world today. Blessed are you, O God, for through the resurrection we see the promise of a new heaven and a new earth. Bring us together with all your saints into the new Jerusalem. With alleluias in our hearts and on our lips, we commend to your care all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus has said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If those who hear my voice open the door, I will come to them and eat with them, and they with me. And so we, at Christ's invitation, open the doors of our hearts to him and gather around this table to share this meal with him. For the Lord said, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who find refuge in our God. Please join me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. It is our right and our duty to come before you, O God, and remember your mighty acts of love, how you created the world from nothing and placed humans in it to be in a special relationship with you, how we forsook your love, but you never forsook us, how your love for us was so great that you sent your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior, to show us the way to understand your love and to live in your ways. And though as humans we could not love Christ and crucified him as a threat, your love overcame our hate and your power resurrected him from the dead. Thus we come to this table with great gratitude and constant praise. Around this table we dream of the possibilities you promise. You call us by name with arms outstretched on a cross, and you call us to yourself, and you name us as your own people. And because you reach out to us, we can now embrace those who join us at this table, friend and stranger, rival and enemy, for you bring us together and call us all beloved. The bread becomes the body, and so we become the body of Christ, knitted together in love. The cup becomes lifeblood, transforming the lives and transforming the world. Renew us, O God, with your Spirit, that we may receive this mercy, enhancing its manifold gifts and shouting, Amen, that resounds around the world. Amen. And so, We are told in scriptures that Jesus, on his last night, gathered with his disciples in the upper room, and there he took the bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so I invite you to partake of the wafer, remembering that you are part of the body of Christ. Said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood shed for you. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." So doing as Christ commands, I invite you to partake of the juice. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others in the manner of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And please stand and join with me in the congregational response. Choir, and for all of you, we have a special reception in the Knox meeting room there, so please head that way. And when you do go from this place, go with the blessings of God this day and every day. Amen.